Then it occurred to him. He must have hit on Joanna, too.
Yes, certainly.
That's why Joanna wanted him off the mission, Jamie said to himself. Not to get me aboard, just to get rid of a man who bothered her. He felt suddenly awkward. There was no place to sit except a chill metal floor, no one to turn to for support. He looked out the non-reflective window and saw nothing but a starry emptiness. The Mars II craft was out of sight, literally over their heads.
Is Hoffman's breakdown what brought you up here? Ilona asked.
Jamie nodded. And you?
I had to get away, she said, her voice lowering. I am becoming depressed.
Why? What's wrong?
Mars is wrong. I am wrong. It was wrong to include a biochemist on this expedition. There is no life on Mars for me to study.
We don't know that for certain, Jamie said. Not yet.
Don't we?
Ilona spoke the words with a weary sigh. Then she turned and stretched her arm toward a glowing, ruddy point of light swinging past in the starry blackness.
Look at the planet, Jamie. Think of all the rocks and soil samples and photographs we have studied. We get new photos and data every day from the orbiters they put around the planet. Not a trace of life. Nothing. Mars is absolutely barren. Lifeless.
He turned from the red glow of Mars to focus on her sorrowing face once more. But we've only had a few dozen samples. You're talking about a whole world. There must be... She laid a long, manicured finger on Jamie's lips, silencing him.
You have heard of Gaia? Ilona asked.
Jamie said, The idea that the Earth is a living entity? Ilona gave him a scant smile.
That's close. Not bad for a geologist.
He found himself grinning back at her. All right, what about Gaia? And what's it got to do with Mars?
The Gaia hypothesis states that all life on Earth works together as a self-regulating feedback system that maintains itself. No single species of life, not even the human race, lives in isolation. All species are part of the whole, part of a totally integrated living Gaia.
I don't see what that's got to do with Mars, Jamie said.
Life has spread itself all across the Earth, Ilona replied. Down in the deepest ocean trenches there is life. The air teems with microorganisms. Even up in the stratosphere there are yeast molds floating about. Even in the most barren Antarctic deserts there are rocks that hold colonies of lichens just below their surfaces.
And Mars looks barren.
Mars is barren. The probes have found nothing in the air. There is no liquid water. The soil is so loaded with superoxides it's like an intense bleach. No living organism could survive in it.
Some of the rocks bear organic chemicals, Jamie reminded her.
But if life existed on Mars, it would not be confined to one place.
Ilona's husky voice was almost pleading now.
If there were a Martian equivalent of Gaia, we would see life everywhere we looked, just as we do on Earth.
Stubbornly, Jamie shook his head.
But Earth is warmer. Earth has liquid water everywhere you look. It's easy for life to grow and spread on Earth. Mars isn't that rich. Life would have a tougher time there.
Ilona shook her head, too.
No, I don't believe that's the reason why Mars looks so bleak. The planet is truly barren. There is no life there, and there probably never was. I have wasted the past 3 years of my life. Sending anyone involved in biology was a mistake.
She stood there, framed by the oblong window, the slowly circling stars behind her. Ilona no longer looked haughty or regal. She looked depressed, disheartened. Jamie shrugged and muttered,
I don't think you can give up before you've even started.
No matter what you believe, you can't really say anything definite until you've gotten there and looked for yourself. Mars probably has a few surprises in store for you, for all of us.
Perhaps, Ilona sighed again.
Then she wrapped her arms around herself and shivered.
It's always so cold in here. I should have worn my thermal underwear.
I'm sorry I don't have a sweater or a jacket.
It's my own fault, she said. I acted on impulse, coming here in just these coveralls.
Jamie grinned at her.
That's against the rules. How many times has Voznesensky drilled it into us? Think 10 times before you do anything.
Vosnes Sensky. She growled the name, like a lioness, snarling.
What's wrong with Mikhail? Jamie asked. He doesn't seem like such a bad guy to me.
He is a Russian.
So what?
Half my family was murdered by Russians in 1956. My grandmother barely escaped the country. My grandfather was hanged. As if he were a criminal, the Russians hanged him.
Well, that wasn't Vosnesensky's fault.
Russia's changed a lot since then. So has Hungary. It all happened half a century ago.
It's easy for you Americans to forgive and forget. Not so easy for me and my people.
Jamie did not know what to say. There's nothing I can say, he realized. For several moments they stood, facing each other, while the stars arced around them and the background buzz of electrical equipment hummed its faint note like a distant chorus of Tibetan lamas droning a mantra. Ilona shuddered. It is cold up here. She moved closer to Jamie, pressed against him.
We could go back, Jamie said, yet he slid one arm around her waist. It seemed the right thing to do.
No, not yet.
I have been worried about you, said Ilona. Her voice was low, sensuous, her face so close to Jamie's that he could smell the faint perfume in her honey-blonde hair.
Worried about me?
You seem withdrawn, lonely.
He made half a shrug.
We're a long way from home.
You avoid us.
Avoid you?
Jamie felt stupid repeating her words, but she was catching him unprepared.
Joanna and me. Katrin, you avoid us. Didn't you realize that?
We're not supposed to get emotionally involved with one another.
Another rule, I know. But does that mean you can't sit next to us at meals?
I've been watching you very carefully. You deliberately stay as far from us as you can.
100 thoughts raced through Jamie's mind. He muttered,
Lead us not into temptation.
Are you in love with Joanna?
No, of course not.
Of course not, Ilona mimicked, smiling at him. The rules forbid us to fall in love, don't they?
Not just the rules, Jamie replied.
You don't want to get involved emotionally, is that it?
He nodded, thinking of Edith back in Houston, wondering suddenly where she was, who she was with now.
Ilona wrapped her arms around Jamie's neck. When is the last time you made love?
What?
I don't think... I'll wager you haven't made love since the last time you went home to California, have you?
No, you're wrong.
Certainly not since we arrived at the assembly station. Not since then.
Jamie's mind was telling him to disengage from her and get away, but his arms were clasping Ilona close to him, holding her tightly against his body. Their lips were almost touching.
I want to make love with you, Jamie. Right here and now. I want to make love with my strong, silent friend here among the stars. I want your strength, your warmth.
She kissed him fiercely, then whispered,
The rules say nothing against fucking, Jamie. Fuck me, red man. Fuck me.
Slowly, languidly, almost like a man hypnotized, Jamie pulled open the front of Ilona's coveralls. The Velcro seam split with the same noise as ripping fabric. As if in a dream, he watched himself slide the garment over her shoulders and down her long arms. She wore nothing at all beneath the coveralls. The skin of her bare shoulders and slight breasts looked milky white in the starlight. All the long months of denial exploded in a sudden frenzy as Jamie pulled Ilona to the hard metal flooring, impervious to the cold, uncaring about Mars or Gaia or anything else except this eager tigress. The stars wheeled impassively about them. 2. The next morning at breakfast, Jamie felt terribly embarrassed. He could not face Joanna at all, and found that it was difficult for him even to look into Ilona's face. She smiled at him, though, from across the narrow wardroom table as he sat down with his tray between Tony Reed and Tadeusz Szliwa, the golden-haired Polish backup biochemist.
Jamie hurried through his breakfast and headed quickly up toward the communications console, where he intended to contact the growing library at Houston and bury himself in reading more details about the odd, oxygen-rich chemistry of the soil of Mars.